Welcome to Influencer Marketing for Destinations, part of the Destination Marketing Podcast Network.
Welcome back to Influencer Marketing for Destinations. We are excited to be back with another episode, again, talking about media kits today, and to have an awesome and wonderfully big guest from Tuacon Amphitheater. Welcome, Tony. His name is Tony Piersante.
Killed it. You got it.
Love it. I said
great
it right.
To be here. Yeah.
And Jess, of course, welcome back as our co-host. We're so excited to have everybody.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah. So Tony, tell us a little bit about your role and what you do for Tuacon Amphitheater.
Sure. My boss Googled what I should be doing here and came up with the title Marketing Relationship Manager, which is a fancy way of saying I do our social media and community relations, along with occasionally I'll chat to media professionals. So it was a good time.
I love that. Google knows the answers to all. So
absolutely,
at least you've got a good place. So, and tell us a little bit about what social media platforms that Tuacon has so everyone can go follow and like and subscribe.
Absolutely. Yeah. We're on Facebook and Instagram. Instagram is tuacon.amp. Facebook is Tuacon Center for the Arts. We're also on Twitter with @Tuacon. And soon we'll be being a lot more robust on TikTok and Pinterest.
That is great to hear. So listeners, if you are listening, be sure to go follow them on their social media channels. They do amazing work. So definitely give them a follow on all their channels. And then Tony, before we dive into this deep dive section, we like to do a little segment called #influenced. This is just something that we like to share with our listeners to let them know that we also are influenced on a regular basis on social media channels. So Tony, is there something you've been influenced to do or buy recently in this past week?
Oh, yeah. It's already in my cart. It should be here in a couple of weeks. So I do community theater productions as well. And the show that I'm in right now, Tarzan, they have me swinging from the rooftops, literally. And it's kind of pulling my back a little bit. So I was chatting with some people and they said, well, you know, your psoas muscle might be a little bit tight. So you might want to look into getting that taken care of. I had not Googled this, which is what makes it extra creepy. And so I was going through Instagram and all of a sudden Joe Rogan, who I follow, pops up and is talking about how there is a foam roller for your psoas muscle called PsoRight. And it's only $60. And like I said, it'll be here in about 2 weeks.
That's fantastic. Yeah, they have a product for everything. And like you said, it's kind of creepy because sometimes I'll just be thinking about something and an ad will pop up for it. I don't know how they do it. I do not know how.
They know us better than we know ourselves.
Could be.
I know. Times that by two, Tony, because I think I need one too. So secondhand influenced right there.
Yeah, absolutely.
Jacqueline, what about yourself? Anything that you've been influenced to do or by this past week?
Yes. So this weekend was my mom and my sister's birthdays. So it's always fun trying to pull together gifts and trying to find the right gift. And last minute, of course, I know this happens to so many people. I did not have time to get a card and didn't know what to do. But as many of our listeners know, I'm very active in the calligraphy world and the art world. And so there is a lady who has a very robust YouTube channel. She's called the Happy Ever Crafter. And she had a tutorial for a greeting card design. And so I just pulled up the video, pulled out some paper, really kind of went to town. It was a really easy tutorial, really easy to follow. And it was really fun because my mom completely thought it was a printed bought card. She had no idea that I had done it. So I guess everything worked out perfectly.
That's awesome to hear. Well, yeah, you'll definitely have to post that to social media. I'm sure everybody would love to see that.
Yes, I definitely will. So if you're following Influencer Marketing for Destinations on Instagram, then I'll post it to our Instagram stories. You'll be able to see it. So
awesome. That's so cool.
Yeah. And Jess, how have you been influenced this week?
You know, my husband and I, we took our little 8-month-old baby camping this past weekend. And beforehand, I was trying to figure out best sleeping situation for the baby so that baby could be warm, but also in a safe sleep environment. So that way, you know, my sleeping bag didn't go over his face or anything like that. And I actually ran into an Instagram page that sells baby sleeping bags. It's super cute. And it was a quick buy and it ended up getting here in time. And it was perfect. So that's how I've been influenced recently on Instagram.
That is so perfect. There is a product for everything.
For sure. For sure.
That's so cool. Well, moving on from our hashtag influence segment, we are really excited to do our deep dive about media kits with Tony. And as a very big organization, Tuacon Amphitheater is one, if not the largest, theaters in Utah. So Tony, tell us how Tuacon looks at influencers, kind of what their opinion is, and then we'll kind of deep dive into media kits.
Absolutely. We're actually kind of in the infancy of influencer marketing. A couple of years ago, we started inviting just random folks that had a bit of a following from either up north Salt Lake area or down here to come see the shows. But it was more of just kind of like a shotgun blast approach. Whereas this year, we're doing things just a tad bit differently, where we are actually asking for influencer kits. Because we noticed that shotgun approach, sometimes it would work, other times it wouldn't. Like, we'd have these really great influencers that would come in and they do tremendously for us. And then people that we thought would do really well just kind of fizzled and died. And I think that's because we needed to go through a bit of a learning process of knowing how to source out a proper influencer. And in this day and age where you can buy followers, there's a difference between a proper influencer and somebody who's posing.
No, that's so good. I'm glad you guys realized that, because that is a very big deal. And that's one of the things that Jess and I have already mentioned on our podcast.
Yeah, unfortunately, like you mentioned, it's just in today's world, it's so easy to just go find a website, buy some Instagram followers or Instagram mm-hmm. likes or views or whatnot. So it's so important to get their influencer media kit, because you really can take that deep dive into the behind the scenes of who they are, you know, how long they've been doing this, different partners that they've had, their audience demographics, everything. So that way you can really get a true sense of, is this influencer a good fit? Or even, is this influencer a real influencer? Which is an unfortunate right. question that we have to ask ourselves nowadays.
Yeah, absolutely.
So when it comes to media kits, you mentioned you're just starting to ask for those. What do you like to see when you receive one?
For being a creative dude, I'm also pretty analytic. I want to see kind of the core benchmarks, which would be, you know, engagement coupled with demographics. But what's really interesting to me is I want to know when people are engaging with your social media. So if I have somebody coming to me and saying, hey, I want to come and I'll promote you by doing a couple of posts and all that kind of jazz, the first question that I will ask is, hey, where's your media kit, or where's your influencer kit? And that weeds out about 90% of people. And once I get that on that, I want to see exactly what their engagement looks like and at what times of the day and who's engaging. So if their market doesn't line up with mine, then it doesn't really make sense for them to partner with us in that regard. I don't really necessarily want a food blogger coming in to review shows with us if their market isn't necessarily our market, if they're kind of like a kids toys YouTube channel. There's no place for that with us. So for me, what I'm really looking for is hardcore analytics of what is going on with their feed, what's going on with their page, and we can make educated decisions from there.
I think that's awesome. And I love that you mentioned just diving down more specifically on who their audience is and if it aligns with yours. You did mention something about food bloggers in particular. Are you, with your organization, do you look for a specific niche or just lining up audiences?
This year, because I wanted to do things a little bit differently, and listen, you don't always have to reinvent the wheel, right? So I actually popped onto Hale Center Theater's Instagram feed mm-hmm. and was looking at people who had tagged Hale Center, and kind of went through and was looking at people who had high engagement on their posts. Mm-hmm. From there, I'd go in and look at their follower account. I wanted quality over quantity. So somebody could have 100,000 followers, but only get 1,000 likes or 10 or 20 comments on their feed. But what I found was there were some really great influencers who had, there were micro influencers who had 10, maybe 15,000 followers, but their engagement on it was through the roof. They'd have hundreds of comments on there and thousands of likes. It was a true organic influencer, as opposed to somebody that had kind of maybe lost traction over time and things like that. So I went through the process of reaching out to those people and talking to them a little bit about our program and asking them if they had a media kit. And if they didn't, I actually kind of helped them figure out a way to put those together so that they could become influencers in the theater world. Mm-hmm. And that's working out pretty well.
That's amazing. Thanks for kind of sharing with us your process. I think that's really neat that you found an account that was similar to yours on Instagram and started working from that. I think that's a fantastic idea for most businesses to do.
And I think it's cool that you were helping them kind of with their media kits and things like that. One of the questions that I have about that is I know a lot of influencers sometimes ask, you know, why is a media kit so important? I mean, the data and the analytics you mentioned are a really good reason, but are there any other reasons why a media kit really is so vital to this process and why it is so important to have?
First and foremost, it's your resume. Like, you wouldn't show up to a job interview without a resume, right? Maybe people do nowadays. I don't know.
No, it's still important.
School, even if I've emailed the resume, I'm still bringing a couple of copies, right? But yeah, you don't come to the table unprepared. And so when these people who have 100,000 followers but zero engagement on their site, and the first thing you ask is, hey, where's your influencer kit? Where's your media kit? And they kind of go, I don't have one. That's a giant red flag. You want somebody who has the due diligence, who has invested in their own brand enough to be proud enough to make a kit and have the analytics to back up their proclamations. So,
yep, I agree with that. I think that is a major red flag for any organization or destination marketing organization or even a tourism board. If an influencer doesn't have a media kit, you might want to reconsider or you know, like Tony's done, help them. If you're really invested in this specific person and you think that they will do a great job for you, maybe help them develop that. And I think, you know, it could benefit you and it could benefit them in the long run.
Some of these micro channels don't know they're influencers yet. So in case in point, there are a couple, like I said, that I found through Hale. They were like, yeah, man, I'd love to come down. And they had this, you know, a small following, but great engagement. Like, you probably could make a little money doing this. And in this day and age, everybody needs a side gig, right? So,
mm-hmm. Yeah. Very cool. Yeah. And like you said, the power of micro influencers is there. They might not even realize that they're influencing, but they are. So right. I think that's a great point.
Yeah. I know for an agency too, the media kit is so powerful because it's not just viewed by me or my team. We share it with clients. And so, Tony, do you share the media kits with your team or with anyone at TuaCon who also has an influence to making a decision on an influencer?
The really cool thing about the marketing team here at TuaCon is we all come from very different walks of life. I think that's one of the things that makes us successful is we bring a bunch of different viewpoints to the table. So we're all influenced by different thing. Like, I'm a big follower of theater feeds along with fitness feeds. And my boss, Stephanie, she's a big quilter. So we all have different avenues in which we are influenced by people. So when an influencer does bring in a media kit, of course we share with each other because we can give different insights on whether or not this would be a good person and talk about how we can aid this influencer in really doing the best campaign for TuaCon as possible.
I think that's great. Yep. I think that's fantastic. And I want to kind of revisit a point that we chatted about just a few minutes ago. You mentioned that for the media kit, you love to see their engagement and then the audience, right? If it lines up with yours. So those are like the must haves in a media kit for you. But are there other things that you find interesting? Maybe they're optional, but they're still nice to see in their media kits?
With influencers, and I actually don't want to call them influencers right now, but with influencers, they're meant to be organic. A lot of the way that we get our advertising nowadays is from these personal interactions that, like, people that we know and trust through social media. So I'd actually like to know a little bit about their personal lives. Do you have kids? Do you have family? Like, for me at TuaCon, we strive to be a very family oriented business. So that's one of the reasons why we try to have a Disney production in each one of our seasons, because it is a family-oriented show where you can feel proud about bringing your kids. Mm-hmm. So if that's a benchmark for us here at TuaCon, I'd like to have an influencer who might have a couple of young ones that could bring, and we can see organically through the eyes of their children or things like that. So some of those personalized details that aren't too in depth, but knowing what their everyday life kind of looks like and how that can interact with my patrons' everyday life would be kind of nice.
That's awesome. I love that. Just getting to know them as a person and their brand instead of just their analytics and their engagement and their audience. So I think that's nice. Thanks for sharing.
Yeah.
I also think that that authenticity is really what social media is trending towards. We're seeing more and more of influencers' personal lives. And I know I've seen a lot of influencers kind of do the poll where they say, you know, how much of my life do you want to see? You know, do you want to see the pretty parts or the rough parts too? And people want to see it all. So I don't think that's a bad thing to be looking at that.
Absolutely.
So one of the things that Jess and I mentioned in our last episode that I hadn't really thought about before, but I'm wondering if you have, Tony, is the length of a media kit. I know I've seen varying lengths from, you know, 1 to 3 or maybe even 5 pages max, but it still sticks with me today, Jess, that last episode you mentioned that you've seen a 10-page media kit.
Yep.
Tony, do you have a preference on that, or what do you think?
I don't have a preference. I think whatever it takes you to tell your story, if that is a one sheet, fantastic, because I love one sheets. That's an easily digestible thing. But if you have a robust social media presence that requires multiple pages, so if your Instagram analytics fills up an entire page and your YouTube analytics fills up an entire page, and I mean, if you have a story to tell through different avenues, please feel free to make that a little bit longer. The more information that we have, the better. We may not read it all, but you know, if you have a substantial following on multiple avenues, I'd say jump in and do what tells your story and puts you in the best light.
I think that's a great answer.
Yeah, I actually really do like that, because it's very rare that I find an influencer that actually has very robust following on multiple platforms. So you actually make a very good point there. I think if someone does have that, that is a very strong thing to point out.
Yep, I agree with that. Tony, we've had an amazing conversation. We've loved getting to know how you and your organization are doing media kits. But before we kind of wrap this up, is there any other stories about media kits that you'd like to share with us and our audience today?
I would say for anybody who's listening, don't necessarily count yourself out. It's really, really easy to make a influencer kit. You might in your mind think this is a daunting task, but just pop onto Canva. They have templates for you. And then you just plug and play. Just take your analytics, put it in there, put your demographics, everything needed to tell your story. And if it's a one sheet, great. But don't discount yourself. If you only have, you know, 5-10,000 followers, but your engagement is through the roof, you are an influencer and you can be making money or taking in experiences that other people want to know about. So don't count yourself out. Jump in, and it's pretty easy to do. You can find very quick tutorials through free sites like Canva.
Mm-hmm. Yep, exactly.
Yep. Yeah. So Tony, I know we've talked a lot about influencers. I think a lot of influencers listening will feel very appreciative of all the tips and tricks that you've given them. But how can they help you? If they're interested in collaborating and working with Tuacon, they think that they're a good influencer and matches up with what you've said today. How can they reach you and find you?
DM me on Facebook or Instagram. And the question that I'm going to ask you is, do you have an influencer kit? And if you say no, I will reach back and said, okay, just pop onto Canva and make one and then bring it back to me. Because at this point, I'm more interested in people that are coming to the table prepared and that are going to do a good job than the shotgun approach that we've had in the past. And an influencer kit is a great way to put your best foot forward to becoming something that we want to work with. So yeah, DM me on Instagram, but make sure you have your your influencer kit ready.
Awesome. Well, thanks so much, Tony, for sharing that with us today. And thanks for being a guest on our show. We've learned a ton from you.
Well, thanks, guys.
Yeah, thank you.
Well, Tony, thanks again so much for joining us. We really love chatting with you. Also, to our listeners, thank you for tuning in today. Don't forget to leave us a rating or a review, and we'll talk to you next time.
Thanks for listening. This has been another episode of Influencer Marketing for Destinations, part of the Destination Marketing Podcast Network, hosted by Jess and Jacqueline and produced by Relic.